Good evening and welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and soon to join me literally in just 30 seconds to a minute. It will be, of course, Andrew Marr for our regular weekly live show on Podbean. Well, it's great to have you with us. I hope you've had a good week. We've been producing shows, my goodness, about every few days. We've had things happening, so it's been brilliant. As we've seen our plays number go up and our downloads go up. And if you've been on the Podbean channel, you'll see it there and you can subscribe and follow us on that. And also on YouTube as well, we do a new show as well. And we'll be doing some more live streams on YouTube as we go further into the month. But I believe Andrew Marr has joined me. Are you there, Andrew?
Can you hear me? Is everything working?
It is working very well. You sound very relaxed and calm.
Excellent, wonderful. Well, I'm on a walkabout around my little flat. Fortunately, with Podbean, I can do that. So I've got my hands-free. I'm walking around while I pour a cup of coffee, so I can relax while I'm joining you, and we can rant about things in comfort.
Now, Andrew must have disappeared to the far side of his flat, but I'm still here. And tonight we will be talking about Alonso's plans for a return to Formula One. Now, he was due to come back in 2021, potentially, but because of the delays to the regulations, he is now wondering whether or not it is still worth it. And I see that Ant has joined us now. Good to have you with us, Ant.
Hello,
good
Ant.
Evening.
Hello.
Good evening. And Andrew is there, but he's on the far side of his flat, so he probably can't hear at the moment, but he will come back into listening range within a few minutes, I hope. Oh, he's come back. He is still there with us. But we're also going to be talking about John Eric Verne. Ant's saying we're not in YouTube. Well, we thought about doing YouTube, but sometimes it affects the quality a little bit of the Podbean live stream. So I just thought maybe tonight we might try. I know I had said that we'll probably be live streaming on YouTube, but I do apologise. But it sometimes just makes it a little bit off when we do the live stream on Podbean. But I hope you don't mind, and we will do more on YouTube as it comes. Probably not for our commentating, only because we have to have so much stuff on, it reduces the bandwidth, and it can be a bit of a pain with all of that. But yes, yeah, so we'll be talking about Alonso and John Eric Verne. Now, what's Ant saying here?
Can you hear me? Is it working now? Is it everything?
I was waiting there, tapping my fingers. Lots of love. Oh, sorry about that, Ant. You were waiting on YouTube for us to start a live stream that never happened. But to be fair, I mean, I could always start a live stream if you want. Will I send you? You want to do the talking just now, Andrew, and I'll get a broadcast set up?
Yes, if you want to do that, I've got to rejig what I'm doing at my end then.
Is that?
Of course, naturally. Patrick.
I love an organised show. An organised show is right. The best one to do, isn't it?
Okay, so I'm going to unplug this and plug it in somewhere else. Don't go away.
Check. Will have changed.
It's fine, actually.
It'll still be there.
Yep. No.
That's very good. Well, that's my condenser mic on my highly thingy-me, jingy-me-wiggy, computerised phone. I'm going to sit it down. What am I doing now? I've no idea. Who? What? Where?
Our weekly live stream is just coming on in a second now. Create broadcast. I've just got it going on YouTube, so it'll just be coming through in a few seconds. And we'll get that sorted out.
What's going on now?
Oh, now it's going a bit fuzzy, but there we are. And we will.
Sounds like this when I think technology.
What? There we go. And I will simply get an invite sent out to you.
That's the one.
And
there we go. Why is that not working?
No, it's an email. And once we're there, Andrew will join us.
So, can you still hear me on Podbean?
Yes, I'm still hearing you.
Okay, in that case, what I'm going to do, I'm going to close the googly thing that I'm looking at you on so I can go on the stream?
That's me, that's no problem at all.
Back in a sec.
So now it's been hard. Good to see you, mate. We are live on the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show. And also we are on Podbean
right,
Live
okay.
too.
It's all, I mean, this
and
is
it's
for
great
the
to have you with us.
Everything's
here
fine.
Here we go.
It's all fine.
I hope you can hear us and loud and clear, whether we're on Podbean or whether we are on,
come on, computer.
YouTube. Faster, we're all faster. Getting ready, and we are. Where Andrew will be with us in a few seconds. We'll hear a little beep, and then he'll come through, and we'll have the proper live stream going.
Testing.
What did you think of our commentary on Friday night? Or sorry, on Sunday night? And did you enjoy that?
Because I haven't got a green screen.
Because we certainly had great fun doing it. It seemed to work really, really well, actually. It was probably our best yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And we had over, I think it's sitting there at 28, 29 listens.
No, wrong place.
And that's just since Sunday night, so we're very, very pleased with that. We've been really quite chuffed the way it's gone. I think Ant has...
That works. Now, here we go, Winter Broadcast Studio.
And here comes Andrew. Here we go.
There we go. We get there in the end.
Yep, there we are. And I'll pop it on here so we have...
No, I can see my face. Don't do that.
There we go. So we're back on YouTube as well as Podbean. So it's great to have you with us. So we look so professional. But you know what happened? This was my McLaren top. Now the thing is, when we're doing it on Podbean, nobody gets to see this. But all the badges have come off. all the badges came off. My wife unfortunately put it in the washing machine and it broke. And when she took out my top, all the badges had come off. So this was a McLaren Honda top, but it's gone. It was one of the,
well, that's probably a good thing, actually, because Honda went from McLaren pretty sharpish as well.
Yeah, bet they regret that nowadays. So when we talk about Alonso, first of all, and his decision to potentially delay his return to Formula One because the regulations have been delayed, haven't they?
I mean, what are you going to do with him, eh? So funny. I miss him. I miss him a lot because the thing about Fernando is he was a bit like Jacques Villeneuve. He just came out with stuff and it didn't matter that it was rubbish or that it was whatever. It just didn't matter because it was just funny. Yeah. So entertaining.
It's when he said F2 engine or sorry, GP2 engine. GP2 engine when he's going past it. And that's Suzuka.
There's just no filter. Is it because he was so completely full of himself that he didn't think that anybody on the planet mattered as much as him so he could say what he liked? Or was it just that he has no filter? You know?
I wonder, it's interesting. I think he was pretty kind of upset, certainly. You can put your own decals or patties on it. We're going to have to get a Car, Sim and Race Driver cap. So they can see our image on that.
Yeah, I've put this on because I had another go at shaving my head. Because, you know, I can't get a proper haircut. And so I'm taking a tip from John, who puts cap on. I've got a sort of a blue flat cap version, but I thought this looks a bit more sporting. And also for the American market.
That's it. And we do have quite a few American listeners.
We do indeed.
Which is true. We're very, very happy to have listeners from all over the world and the US, of course. Is a great player in that, so we're very, very pleased. In fact, on a lot of my on the Podbean, when you split it up with all the countries, it's amazing actually that the US takes up nearly 50% of our listeners. So we have lots of American fans out there, which is great.
They like their motorsport. They've got good taste. Well done. Now, well done, America. Good.
We could ask our listeners. We've been having so much fun commentating on the virtual races, and that virtual race on Sunday night was the best
that
you've
really
ever done.
Good, wasn't it? I enjoyed that.
Really well. It was really good. Yeah. Fantastic race, and I think it was just better managed as well. I think the visuals were a bit better, so it worked out a lot better.
Still employing that moron that works for
Tom Denton or something, whatever his name. Once we thought, why don't we ask our listeners what race would they like us to commentate on? Because there's a whole bunch of races on YouTube that obviously have been recorded. They're maybe classic races, and we could do maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever is their punishment, as to how long they could put up with us. And
are you talking about streaming an older race and then us sort of replacing the commentary in our own inimitable style?
Exactly.
Where we talking nonsense. and exactly. I shout about things.
And we always digress onto something.
Well, gotta digress.
We can do that, you see, and it means that we can all watch the race at the same time. We'll find out exactly what it's going to be, and then we'll put the sound down, and they can listen to us. And they can watch us do it on YouTube, you see. We can do it on the live stream and the whole thing, if it all works, if we've got enough power to get it working.
Sorry. I'd like to... Should I explain? Right, in Gymraeg, in Welsh, the word for carrot is moron. So what Ant, who found this out the other day in a conversation I had with him, lovely long conversation, I explained this to him. So it's a great secret way of calling somebody a moron if you're in the know. You carrot, you know, and it's, you're not saying that they're ginger. What you're saying is that they're a Welsh moron. Ta-da. So there you go. He's no filter. No filter. So he's also saying that Alonso's got no filter. I actually did, when I first turned this on, I'd left because I did an experiment with the background. Let me try. I've got that. That is an Alfa Romeo 159 Alfetta. And when I get a green or blue screen, that will be my background.
Oh, fantastic.
Actually, that looks quite good. Can we leave that?
Yes. Yeah. No, it's
good. I mean, it hides the stupid writing and it's a hint. It's a hint of
what you like. Yeah.
Techno 1950s 1.5 litre straight eights with superchargers.
Well, it was quite nice. My wife was doing a video earlier on for the nursery. So we do record children's stories and things for them all. And they put it out there.
Sorry, I just
and one of the one of the parents noticed the pictures because she was doing it in here, you see. She had all the pictures in the back like of Senna and all the others and the racing drivers and things. And one of the people who was watching the video happened to recognise the pictures of Senna and said, "Oh, that was fantastic." I didn't really kind of, I don't think they were that bothered about the story, but they were more interested in the pictures in the background that we had in there. So yeah. It was like, a blue screen is better. I see. Sometimes it's more than a green screen, but I've got my green screen kind of tucked away up at the top so I can bring it down when I need it.
It used to be blue screen in the 80s, didn't it? I definitely remember there being, but I remember it being explained on Blue Peter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that 19 Alpha behind you is worth an awful lot more than the current one. You know, I mean, it was probably about 1,000 times more, actually.
Well, of course, we know the story of the 158, 159 Alfetta because I have gone on about it, you know.
Some car. I was a little bit concerned about Alfa Romeo, not so much about Fiat, because I think Fiat's big enough to kind of keep going. And I know that Alfa's in that brand of the FCA group, but I hope Alfa keeps going because they've always been struggling. They've not really made that many sales across Europe. Although they've got a really good lineup now, a much, much stronger lineup, far more convincing.
They've sold in Italy. It's really weird because I've always thought that Italy and Britain have almost a kind of a relationship, a similar sort of attitude towards cars. We're both very passionate about our motorsport. We both make interesting little cars and sports cars. We're good at, you always crack me up when Ferrari used to call the British teams garagistas, because effectively that's how the Italian car industry started. There were a bunch of people that were in a shed making cars, you know, the whole of the Fiat family, SPA, SCAT, Itala, all these ones, they're all related to a family called the Cairanos, and the Cairanos had a bicycle factory, but they this newfangled invention thing, the motor engine, came along, and they sort of went, "Oh, that's interesting," and we'll shove that on a bike like everybody did. I mean, that's what everybody did. They had a frame and they shoved this engine on it, and I've seen photographs of this four-wheeled thing. I mean, if you think about, if you get a quad bike and stack it up so it's really tall and dangerous looking with the brakes, that's pretty much what they had in like 1898 or something like this. It's just frightening. But that's how it started, you know, a bunch of engineering blokes with some metal tubing and a hammer.
And for the French as well. The French were quite a bit like that, weren't they? With PSA Group or the Citroën. and it was Peugeot.
They
made bicycles. They made all sorts of things, and then eventually they went into cars.
Renault, the Renault brothers. I mean, they won the very first Grand Prix. But when was that? 1902, something like that, or earlier than that? Yeah. I can't remember. But
so now it's amazing how it all develops. And yeah. I was thinking about in the 90s when I was a teenager, and we had terrible cars. I mean, the Austin Rover range, Austin Rover garage nearby, and some of the cars that were coming back out of there. I mean, okay, you had Rover 200s that were basically Hondas. They were the kind of better ones.
They had double wishbone suspension all round. The Honda 200s, 400s. They're actually not the Integra. What's it called?
There's the 400, the 800, the 600.
Thinking of the Honda equivalent, but whatever it was, they're actually...
Well, they were much better, but the Austin ones, really, like the Montego, Maestro, Metro. The new Metro that they brought out in 1990 was a lot better, but it was still, you know, it was, when you think about it, then you had Fiat, and you think those kind of, when you think Britain and Europe, they were struggling. I mean, they were cars, when you think how good Peugeots were at the time, well, they had their reputation. The 205 had some really iconic cars. I suppose Fiat had the Uno. They were, I don't know how iconic that was, but it was certainly, it competed with the 205 and things like that. They were wonderfully light. And but they were in a different level,
I had a 1300 five door, and I had a 1 liter three door. And honestly, the 1 liter three door was one of the funniest cars I've ever driven.
Well, the handling was incredible on those things.
It was just, well, even if it didn't handle that well, it was just a lap.
It was the thin tires. Yeah, I mean, it was such good. And they got pennies to run.
Being a Fiat, you could rev the nuts off it.
Yeah, they had good engines. Yeah, not the gearboxes, but they were quite fun. They were still quite good.
You got used to the crunch.
The handling, everything was plastic, basic rubber. But they were cheap. They used to sell them for like $4,000.
It was like my first bike. I had a 250 trials bike, a Kawasaki, and that actually, even though I had bigger bikes later, that was a lot more fun to ride because what you got for the speed, you didn't need to go really fast to enjoy it. It was like the difference between, I don't know, spending 300 quid on going paintballing, or when you were a kid, you went and played in the woods and you played war and you picked up sticks and went bang, 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 bang. But you had as much fun as you ever did with paintballing, you know, because...
So, I remember outside the police station in Edinburgh, where I used to live near St. Leonard's, and they had I noticed there was a Fiat Tipo Action Special Edition that was there. They also had the Tempra Action version as well. And you could not see every action model that you got always had a dent in it, even in Britain. Now, I know it's normal in France and Spain and Italy that a lot of cars have dents in them, but this was the one, the Tipo Action version. You never saw one that didn't have a bump on it.
Well,
or something. You had seen plenty of action when it's the version that they had, because that's what the thing. I remember I had a Tempra once as a courtesy car. What was it? My parents had it when their car was getting serviced. The Tipo was getting serviced. And that car was phenomenal. It was such good handling. It was a little 1.6 petrol. But I wanted my father to buy that car.
So unreliable.
That car.
We had a Tempra diesel. I'd just got a job in South Wales, so I was commuting in my Saab. So, you know, kids have to go to school, have to do shopping, and where we lived, buses. What's a bus? I've heard of those things. That's what happens in a city, isn't it? So we managed to find what we thought was a half decent car. It was a Fiat Tempra, a nice white one.
Oh, that's quite a rare colour.
3-4 weeks into running it, the engine fell out the front.
Goodness.
And I mean, actually fell out the front.
Was it quite an old one then? Was it?
Well, not that old. I mean, we've never had new cars, but considering that I had 175,000 miles on my Saab 9000, and that purred like a kitten.
Yeah.
And this Fiat Tempra, I think, had something like 70,000, 80,000, and the engine just went crunch one day, and that was it.
That happened on my old Renault, my mum's old Renault Scenic. I had a Grand Scenic, and we sold it to my brother-in-law. Not only did the windows keep falling down on all the bits, you would do the white, do the electric things, and they just go,
yeah,
all right. And then you had to pay about 600 quid to get them redone. So you did it once.
Mechanical, it's like Alfa Romeos. Mechanically, they are bomb-proof. Right. Again, the engines are just phenomenal. They're the best six-cylinder, or V6 engine especially, in the world for 20 years plus was the Alfa Romeo 2.5 and 3-litre V6s.
Yeah,
they were phenomenal. You're getting in the time when Ford with their 3-litre equivalent 2.9 V6s was getting 150 horsepower, the standard 3-litre from an Alfa Romeo was 210 and 230 in the Cloverleaf. I mean, you're like, it's not like a little bit more. It's a different level of engine. And then you open the bonnet and you see this Michelangelo in front of you.
Yeah, it's a piece of art.
It wasn't a lump of metal with oil spitting out of it. It was this chromed. And you're just going, oh, my goodness. Then you start it and it sings at you. Hello, I'm Italiano. We're going to get a drink and a wine.
And have a crash on the way home. You know?
But you want to get a home because the electrics are going to go. Your windows will go. Boop,
the pump, and then
took a temperate. What are they used to call the estate? They had a funny name for the estate.
Oh, yeah, the SW. It was a station wagon.
Station wagon, that's right. Well,
they
took
were quite
one,
cool.
Get a diesel. We took it for a test drive in the Elim garage in Llangefni on Anglesey, okay? And it was raining, and we just needed a test drive, and then we were seriously thinking of buying this car. It wasn't that old. It was in good condition. I'm doing the rabbit ears now.
That's a Fiat.
Good condition. But, of course, being a Fiat, if you knew that you had dodgy electrics on everything you ever made apart from the Fiat Uno, what's the thing you would absolutely definitely not do? You wouldn't have everything electronic in the car, would you? What if you Fiat? So what they did is they had all the heaters were electronic push button things with some kind of electronic controller sometimes. What's wrong with that cable majiggy and a switch? They worked fine for a very long time, but anyway, so we're driving down the A5. Suddenly, all the electrics switch off. Engine's still going, but lights are gone. Interior lights, fan stops. Windows won't work. Everything stops. So we're driving along in the pitch black, in the rain, on the A5. Can't see a thing. And we're like, what do we do now? Well, there's no way I'm switching this thing off because I won't start it again. And we'd done about 5 miles already, so it's not close. It's not like we were just down the road. Turn around in this garage called Star Garages, a little bit further down the A5, and I don't know, did I kick it? I can't remember what I did, but it just all came out. You woke up again. The lights, the headlights came on, so I legged it back and went, we don't think we want this one.
Goodness. That's quite a thing.
I don't know how to do it.
Art was saying he was in a car doing 80 miles an hour and he dropped from fifth gear to first, and that was fun. Oh, that would be a big bang and locked wheels.
That's a quote from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. There was some bit where Douglas Adams describes the noise that something makes when you accidentally go from fifth down to first on a motorway instead of fourth or third, and the engine pops out the bonnet.
Takes off.
And I mean, that book, you read it and I'm just laughing all the way through. Yeah, I can't help myself. Because it's got, there's two lines in the history of the human race that are better than any other line, okay?
Yeah.
One of them is from Spaceballs, and it's where John Candy is looking down into the Mercedes. He goes, who are you then? And he goes, Barf. He goes, not in here. This is a Mercedes. And then he goes, no, that's my name, Barf. What are you? Because I'm a half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend, John Candy. Just perfect.
I found that film, by the way. So I've got it on DVD, so I'm actually going to watch it.
Spaceballs?
Spaceballs. I knew I had it somewhere. I found it. But I love John
Candy.
One
of the best things ever made. It's just superb. But the other line, which I will, if I'm giggling just thinking about it, is the Vogon ships hung in the air in the way Brits don't.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. One tiny little line in the way Brits don't. Genius. Utter genius. Douglas Adams, dead.
Yeah, it's very, very good. No, they're very, very... I quite like the film they did of that a few years ago, to be fair.
About
10, 15 years. It was all right. It was okay. But they could have done...
Radio show's better. They've done 6 now. He only actually wrote 5 books. They've done a sixth one,
called the hexagonal phase, and are surprisingly very good indeed.
All right.
So produced and narrated the and stuff like that. Yep. And what else to do? Blackadder and all that kind of stuff. He was a producer for those. And he was one of Douglas Adams' best mates until they had a falling out. And he also produced some of the Hitchhiker's Guide radio shows from 78 and 80. Mm. So they've got together and made a sixth one. With big fat bloke Fry, Stephen Fry, because he was a mate of his as well. They're all mates.
That's great.
They actually discovered Paul Whitehouse and the other fella from the Fast Show. They were plasterers and they were doing plastering work in Douglas Adams' house. And they were so funny. They were just such a funny pair of people. Douglas Adams and Stephen Fry, I think they used to share a house or something like that, said, you guys really just need to get on telly or something because he's just so funny. And they did. It kind of helped him along the way a bit. So,
It's amazing how it all comes about. Well, to get back to a slightly motor racing related topic.
Oh, okay. I sent it to Mercedes.
That is true. That is true. What do you think about John Eric Verne saying that F1 and Formula E should merge?
Do you want me to be kind or should I just be myself?
Be yourself.
Idiot.
Yeah, he wants to go into politics.
Being kind because I don't want to swear. This is not a family show, but, you know, I like to swear for pleasure and I would be swearing for being just nasty. So I'll just say he's an idiot. What an idiot.
He was saying like have 10 Formula E races on street circuits and then 10 Formula One races on the bigger
circuits. I hate the Formula E circuits. I think one of the things I dislike about Formula E is the crappy little circuits they use. Because they're so narrow, they have to follow each other all the time.
Yeah.
Give them a field.
Well, it's designed, they only want them to do them in cities so that it's easier for people to get to. And so there's no...
I can get to the city from my rural location, get stuff. Have a proper place where you can sit and watch it. This is, again, where I like the Americans. The Americans understand that if you want to enjoy a race, you've got to be able to see it. So they have it where you can see it. I mean, Baja racing. You know the Baja racing?
Baja.
Basically, they take something that's like a really powerful aerial, what's that, off-road thing?
Not a beach buggy, but it's a kind of...
rally buggy. They take a massive supercharged V8, but one of those, out into the desert. And one of the guys that was doing it, and one of the successful racers, and he had his son in there sort of co-driving with him and this kind of stuff, and he was saying, this is amazing. No one can see this. There's no one here. You're out in the middle of the desert, in the Mojave Desert. Who's there to watch? Because this, I've got an idea, says his dad to himself and his son. So he goes to the Los Angeles big stadium person people, and he goes, right, I want to cover all this with a load of plywood and cover all that with a bunch of dirt, making yumps and bumps and this kind of stuff, and we're going to run Baja and fill this place with 300,000 people.
Yeah.
And they're going to be 10-minute races because people get bored. You can't, you know. Well, no, seriously, the attention span of the average human being is like, you know, you're like, okay. There's a bit in the middle of an F1 race where you start losing the plot a bit and then you pick up again. And this guy understood that 10 minutes is a good length to just have a little sprint race.
And that's how he did. Well, you know, I have a story to tell you about that. Because back in 1994, it was the Australian Grand Prix, the season closer. And I was down at Jonathan's house and we were watching this race. It was very early in the morning. It was about 5 or 4 in the morning, whatever it was. I fell asleep after the start, about 3 or 4 laps into it, I fell asleep. So had Jonathan on the other seat. And then, of course, we heard, it was the voice of Murray Walker, one more Murray Walker that actually woke me up. Because at that point, Hill had gone, I think Schumacher had gone ahead. But Hill had been very close to him, or not too far away, and then he started to catch up, and then he was at that point when I'm not sure if he's in a pit stop or not, or he was right up behind Schumacher, and it was just at that point where I woke up, And then literally he tried to go with them. Then Schumacher went off under pressure and hit the wall and then came back on the track. And at that point, Hill was next to him. And of course, he
belted into
him. And he went off. Yeah. And it was such a rotten. It was so rotten. It was clear as anything that he just didn't want Hill to go past him. And Hill was in a much better position.
He didn't like it at all, did he? Being beaten.
No. And it was so annoying, but we just saw that.
This is why, because he used to test people out, didn't he? People knew that he'd smash into them. But Ayrton Senna used to do the same thing. I remember in an interview with Martin Brundle when he was talking about when he used to race him in Formula 3. And Brundle was saying that what Ayrton used to do is he used to go for a gap and then leave it up to you whether you both came out the corner.
Yeah.
And if you knew that was going to happen, you didn't want to look to end your race there. Yeah. But a couple of people, Jacques Villeneuve being one of them, and also Mr. Coulthard.
Nigel Mansell said he wasn't going to be intimidated by him.
Yeah, and then basically said, well, I'll crash into you then. And you do that a few times, and they learn.
I don't know if Senna would have done such a move as what Schumacher did, though. I mean, I think with Senna was so good, he knew that he could probably fight back. You know, if he like, because when Alesi overtook him in that race way back, and it was at Dallas.
I don't know.
It was kind of like, you know, I think Schumacher was, I mean, he did it on Villeneuve in 1997 in the final race without a rest.
Villeneuve's a loon.
And
he
Brundle
just
said,
didn't care. I'll have you then.
Because Brundle said, you've hit him in the wrong place, Michael. You've hit him in the wrong place, wasn't it?
That's right.
And that was that. So I don't know if Senna would, although he was, you know, he would go for everything, I don't think he would be that unfair because it was a different.
Yeah, it was a funny one. It wasn't like I will smash you off the track. It was I am going for. It was just a subtly different, attitude towards it, a way of looking at it. It was I am going for the overtake.
Aye.
You can turn out or you can not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going for this gap. When I'm in the gap, we'll see what happens. You know, I don't think he was maliciously, I'm going to punt you off the track now. It was just an aggressive move.
Yeah, because he saw it there.
But I mean, no one in the right mind can tell me that Ayrton Senna didn't have his moments of...
He made mistakes.
I wasn't going to say mistakes. I mean, where he went from thinking about things to just reacting. And this is, I think, what happened with Schumacher. Schumacher, I don't think, was a bad person. I just think that his reaction was, I'm going to win. And it was a natural reaction. He absolutely wasn't... I mean, everyone had been criticising him for years and all this kind of stuff. And he wasn't going to go... He wasn't going to punt Villeneuve off.
No.
But his natural reaction was to stop the game past. So...
I know, that's it, isn't it?
It's a funny one. I don't know. But like
the thing is, he had a terrible, you know, the loss of Senna, all of that, his main title kind of contender, you know, being killed at Imola. Of course, all the, you know, the Ratzenberger dying and all of these horrendous accidents.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he got black flags at Silverstone and, you know, he had to fight back and that had allowed Hill to come back at him. And then at the end of that year, they were virtually on the same points. So there was like 1 point in it or something. And it was
a good three.
He's done all of that.
Three seasons where it could have been either of them with the championship.
Because in 94, Schumacher, and then she got it again in 95, and then Hill got it in 96.
Wasn't there some disqualifications because of the plank overwearing because they were running too low?
Yeah, there were bits
that was in all the news and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so there were lots of different. And also, Senna thought that the Benetton had traction control because in Aida, when he crashed, he crashed into, was it Larini? I think it was in the Ferrari or something like that. And Senna was seen, you could see him looking at the hairpin, or the one of the corners, and he was watching. And he was watching the Benetton go round and he could hear the traction control come in.
And
also with the starts that they made these incredible starts. And he was sure that the Benetton, but you know, again, that takes intelligence. That takes something that guy's got, you know, to be able to say, no, they're definitely.
I know what you're listening at to. Well, it's interesting that because if you think about subsequent years, the Benetton team became Renault, which then became the sort of Lotus Renault Caterham team. And if you think about it, they were famous for the start. Yeah. They had a sort of an electronic diff cum clutch system that worked very well indeed, and used to get Alonso off the line better than anybody else.
Yeah, yeah, Alonso had made some amazing start. He was very good at going up the field in the first lap. He always tended to go past about four or five people.
And the Ferrari, that was known for having good starts and was also known for having traction control, but they couldn't find it. Do you remember?
I remember I was watching the European Grand Prix.
Where did the people of the Schumacher era in Ferrari come from?
It was Renault, was it not? Ross Brawn.
Because it was Benetton.
Yeah, Benetton.
So it's just interesting. I'm not saying, I'm just being a good COVID conspiracy theorist and saying that it's probably because of the 5G masts that made them do that or something. Aliens did it. It was aliens. Aliens! To Red Dwarf.
I was watching the Nürburgring race. You know, the Nürburgring GP. Back European Grand Prix from Nürburgring in 1999, I think it was. And because we were talking about the one in 98 where Ralf Schumacher took out his brother, Michael. That basically lost him the title, the points he won. But in the one in 99, they were all on the grid ready to go. It was Heinz Harald Frentzen on pole position. I think it was Hakkinen on second, or Coulthard on second, and then Hakkinen was third on the grid. And the lights never went off. So, you know, the five lights went on, and they never went off. So the two of them at the start kind of moved, Frentzen moved, Hakkinen moved, and then they all had to stop again because they only got about maybe three or four car lengths, and they stopped because I think Alesi went, and then that was it. And so all the rest of the cars were stuck on the grid because the lights were still on. But it was like 5 or 10 seconds and they hadn't gone off. And so they had to do a restart.
It's nuts.
It was madness. Nuts. And it was Murray Walker and Martin Brundle. And Murray was saying, I've never seen anything like that before. And then that's where Pedro Diniz went flying off, you know, end over end. And his roll hoop failed.
That I remember because the roll hoop, it didn't fail. It was on the gravel and it dug into the gravel. So, of course, it's not doing its job anymore, is it?
I think after that. He was taken off in the ambulance and they covered him. You know, they didn't.
You could see his hands sort of flapping under the car from underneath and they're trying to lift it up. It wasn't protecting his head. It was just. Nasty.
Yeah.
If they'd have had this modern halo device, that wouldn't have happened.
So the halo device that kind of stops that now, doesn't it?
Incredibly strong titanium. Yeah.
Although, how do they get out with that if it's stuck on the upside down with a halo device? It would be quite difficult to get. They'll have to turn the car around.
Well, they'd have to either way, wouldn't they? Really? You're not going to get out either way. At least you're not going to get your head squished. But what happened after that is that they made the sides of the cars much higher again, which means they can't see. That incident that changed the design of the cockpit area to stop that kind of thing happening again.
It's amazing how F1's changed. And I always remember when I watched Senna race at the European Grand Prix in 93, and you could see so much of them. I mean, literally, you know, the side pods were further back and they were a different design. And it was amazing because you saw the shoulders, you saw the arms, you saw the neck, you know, everything was in there. And as they changed gear, you could see Senna's neck go back and forward. You know, that's how violent the
yeah, you know, it was. Well, this I hate with the passion these DSG.
Because it's so quick. It's like a rocket.
I don't mind the quick. The sound. You know what I'm like with sound. I like a nice sound. And I hear them. I live next to the A55, and I can hear the cars. And you can always tell when there's one of these horrible DSGs because it just goes beep, 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 beep. It might as well be a computer game. I like it when you go. There's something better. It's just better.
In the early days, it was a kind of pop. Yeah. You could hear the mechanical change.
Because what's happening now is you're blending, you've got two clutches. It's effectively two gearboxes, right, with two clutches. And the computer knows, very clever programming, that you're going to go up or down or whatever, and it will it's already got the gear ready, but the clutch disengaged with the little motor.
Mm.
And then when you change gear, it's like having, if you imagine you've got two clutch pedals and you're sort of pushing one down while you're lifting one up, and the, and you keep it while keeping full throttle. But the computer's doing that for you. Excuse me very much. Very clever, don't get me wrong. And in terms of speed, I mean, one of the reasons we're getting these amazing 0 to 100 times now is because you don't have to change gear. When you're changing gear, it's just direct. It's just carrying on.
And very quickly tires and everything else as well, isn't it? It
makes so, you know,
difference.
But I just hate the sound. I think it sounds pants.
Can I just give a very big shout out to Adam Croft, who was fantastic on the show last week.
Oh, yes, that was, he was excellent.
Really enjoyed it. And he said he'd be more than well, he said he would love to come back anytime.
Oh, he was good. He bless was really him. Good, he looked so afraid at the beginning. He saw me. Yeah. Frankly, in the morning, I get up and I go into the bathroom, look into the little mirror I've got and go, oh, God, oh, in me. You know, I think I'm invaded by aliens.
SimTrack is brilliant, and we definitely need to visit that again. I totally recommend SimTrack.co.uk.
I really hope they get everything sorted out with that. I mean, I think it's good that they're getting people ringing up saying, right,
yeah, let's book in.
The
let's
minute that we can, we want to get in there. You know, professionals, it just shows you how good they are, really, doesn't it? And they're that in demand, not by gamers, but by pro drivers. Competitive drivers, shall we say. Yeah.
The professional guys, because they know the difference and they need to get the practice in. And it is. I mean, when we went there, we were so fired up coming back. I mean, even though we'd had literally 15 minutes, like Jonathan had managed, as usual, Jonathan always manages to get a bit more. Always, you know, and finds himself in there. So that was that. And if he's listening, he knows. That was fun. But it was, because the noise and everything that's around you, it makes you feel like you really are there. And the reactions are wonderful.
Yeah, I can sort of imagine, because, and I know I keep going back to Sega Rally. Mm. That's not the same. Adam, if you're listening, I know it's not the same. I'm not comparing SimTrack with Sega Rally Challenge from an arcade, all right? But that is the game that I have played, which makes me feel vaguely like I'm sat in a car
in some fashion,
you know. And I like it. And the best ones are the ones that have got the surround speakers all around you, and you're sitting there and you think you're in a Lancia Delta Integrale 16 round or something. And it makes so much difference hearing it, because it's part of the, when you're on a whether you're on a bike or in a car, you've got the G-forces, you've got the feel, you've got the vibrations, and you've got the sound, and all of that is feeding back into your brain to tell you what you should be doing. You don't need a rev counter. You don't sit there looking at the rev counter. The reason those lights exist is because you need something easy to see, because you're too busy looking at this corner coming at you at 160. You don't want to be going, oh, and the trees, am I going again? Sorry, mate. Didn't see you.
Now, my rant of the week. My rant of the week.
Ooh.
Is how annoying.
Is this a Hughes hint?
Is steam. Now, I'm not talking about the water when it evaporates into steam, but the system steam. Because I have been trying to, I've got my PC, the Assetto Corsa, and I've been trying to work the replays, and so I can practice for potential events later on in the year. And I'm trying to get used to it. And my very good friend Josh Martin had given me some replays to practice on for different things. And so there I was. I got it downloaded, all worked, and I put it into the right files. And of course, it doesn't detect those files on Assetto Corsa unless you have the extras, the kind of in-game extras. So you have to buy packages. Right? So I spent an extra 30 quid. Buying this package,
£30,
and £30, and I got everything. It was like a package, you could buy everything, all the stuff. And
car and a pack of fags for that.
The code jumped up when I got my receipt, and it disappeared. Now, normally you have to close the screen in order for the code to go, but you know, you copy it or you put it in. Now, anyway, I can't get this code for love or money, even though I've got a receipt, and I'm trying to get through to Steam, who say you need another account or you need this, you need that. It doesn't make any sense at all. So I'm going to have to try and phone them up to sort it out. So I'm wondering, Does anyone out there in the sphere of podcasts who is listening to this show or on YouTube have any idea what I can do? Because I think what I might have done, I'm certain I've actually got two Steam accounts, because it's registered that I've got this thing done, but it's not going to give me the code. Now, and on Steam, you have to put in, you can say, put add on a new game, and then it wants you to have this special 16-digit or whatever code. And how am I going to fix that? Because I really need that to make my PC version work so I can watch all the replays and then get it working.
The only advice I can give you, again, comes from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where they threatened to reprogram Eddie the ship's computer with a fireman's axe. Yeah. That worked. Have you got a fireman's axe? Do you know any of the people from Steam? You could reprogram them. I've wanted to reprogram people in my area with a minigun, but apparently I've been reliably informed by people who know. I think murder is meant to be some kind of wrong or illegal or bad. Something.
Well, the thing is, I've got a Logitech steering wheel and pedals, right? And I tried to get that. That didn't work on the PC, even though it's supposed to be able to recognize it, right? So I went to Logitech, and they have an app which you can put on your PC, and it's supposed to be able to then make it work, but it doesn't. And I put it on. I did the whole thing. All it did was it slowed down my PC even further. Even though I've got 32 gigs of RAM in the thing, it still slowed it down. So I don't know what's going on, but because it said if you download a special thing on it, then it should make it work for a set of Corsa, and then I can play it on my and get used to the whole thing and actually work it. So yeah, so anyone out there who knows the technicalities of how to download stuff on Steam, or who has a way of recapturing your receipt codes so you can actually put it in and download the game that you've got accounted for, it would be fantastic to hear from you. It's definitely, that is a gamer's question.
Well, Ant's a solution. He says, take it into the back and shoot it.
Like an old dog. Mm.
Well, I wasn't going to say that because that's just being nasty. I mean, I'm not a great fan of pets, but I wouldn't take one out of the back and shoot it. I'd take some of my neighbours out of the back and shoot them before I shoot the dog, frankly, because bless them, the dogs are cute. Even though, I mean, this is my ruse rant. We've got ruse rules, ruse rants, ant answers, Hughes, hot hips. You got hot hips as well?
Hughes hints or something? Or was it?
Hints, yes. Hughes hints. I've got them written down because, you know, I'm like my piece of paper. And idiot of the week. So idiot of the week is Steam. Yes! We have an idiot of the week.
We've got one.
We just didn't say. I nominate Steam to be idiot of the week.
They'll come back and offer me all sorts of goodies.
Or well, they probably won't. Damn well should as well. And they should get you one of those really cheap, because they look cheap, don't they? Special feedback steering wheels and pedals that we see on the virtual.
Oh, you mean like Fanatec?
They are the cheapest ones you can get, because all the ones I've seen have been given to them.
That would be nice. I'm sure in the future.
This is why you've got to be rich and famous. It's the only reason why anyone would ever want to be famous, is they get free stuff.
That's it.
I don't want to be famous. I just want to be rich. If I had this thing behind me, I would need my own.
Think of the insurance.
Amalfi Coast track. Because there's no way that I'm driving that anywhere near anybody else. The noise is for me and my friends. They'll be all there with nice glasses of red wine made locally, and olive oil, and pizzas, and whatever else. And Ant, because he's Italian. You can tell because he's got that funny-looking name. And he talks like it is. He doesn't really.
Imagine phoning up the red line saying, what kind of car is it? It's an Alpha 159. And they think, oh, that's easy, no problem to insure that. As they look on the thing, what's the registration number? And you say, well, it's from 1940, whatever it was, or 50 something.
Yeah. This is the Alfa Romeo Alfetta Tipo 159.
See, that's what we need to call it. I think if Alfa Romeo is, you know, they need a cheap coupe, and they need to call it the Alfetta.
Think about it. They've got an Alfetta Pillock. Alfettas existed, the little alpha. It just means little alphas. It's a diminutive. Yeah. It's like saying, you're right, sweetie. So you come out and you say to your alfetta, and you go, hey,
Look a darling. You all right? Like that. And then you start the engine and you break people's windows with the sound of it. Wow. No, because it's not like, it's not a drain pipe exhaust. It just seems...
Yeah. It's either that or they need a new sud. They need a new alpha.
You like your alpha suds, don't you?
I would love one of those.
Because I think you're from the north. That's very surprising.
Yeah. And there's cars that are out there that, you know, you just want to drive. Like, I really miss the 155 that my father had. And that I would, and there's none. There's absolutely none on Autotrader. You know, I thought you'd pick up one for 200 quid or 500 quid or something. Because you get 159s, like 10 a penny. You get 156s for 10 a penny. And get them for next to nothing.
That's because the 156 was the new.
That was a replacement for the 155, yeah, wasn't it? But the 155, nice. You cannot get anywhere. They must be on a scrapyard or somewhere else. You know, it's.
They're hiding. The Sultan of Brunei's bought them all. That's what it is.
It's got like when the ladders all went back to Russia. Nobody's. Remember the ladders all went. They bought them back and they took them to Russia.
Russia? They got turned into the British Army tanks. When the Conservative government went, we're ready to spend any money. Spend money? No. We've got lots of cannon fodder here. Just get them to walk slowly towards the enemy in Iraq and get shot. Bloody morons. Equipment? Oh, what do you mean these rubber boots melted? That's not a problem, is it? Do I sound vaguely political? I'm not being political, I'm just annoyed.
Anything that
every politician has ever lived, because they're all idiots.
They're certainly, yeah. I think we're all getting a bit fed up being stuck in the houses, aren't we? It's kind of it's a hard. It's a bit of a crazy time.
It's not really changed anything. I went to, okay. So idiot of the week, right? Aliens. So we've got COVID-19, which is apparently part of a mind control system to do with 5G and aliens. And Tesco's is aliens, because I went to the alien torture place called Tesco's on Tuesday, and it was the most stressful thing I've done in a very, very, very long time. I had to go to the far end of the store, and I don't normally I leg it out there as quickly as I possibly can, but I had to do a relatively big shop for me. My monthly sort of beginning of the month shop. And I had to get something from the far end where the little tally things are. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's the little saying that you get little ass you makes an ass out of you and me. Well, this is a human disease. The assumption that just like with indicating on a road, there's the telepathic method. I am turning left. you get the same thing in everywhere we go. So I was at the Boots Pharmacy where there was a sign saying queue over there. When I went there, I got shouted at because apparently me reading was wrong and I should have just known you actually got to stand over there. And when I told the lass, maybe you need to put a sign up that tells you what you've got to do instead of a sign that tells you what you shouldn't do. And then 10 minutes later, she looked at it, gave me a funny look and just turned it round. Well, yeah. Tesco's, which is just up the road... The self-scan thing, which I like to go around and use as a gun, and go pew, 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 pew. It's funny the funny looks you get when you do that. Anyway, you can see how much you're spending. Well, up until this week, you went to the self-service checkout bits to use them, to pay.
Yeah.
But not anymore, because they're broke. But, of course, there's nothing to let you know that.
So you grab it at the start and then that's it.
Oh, yeah. God, no. If only. It was as simple as... No, you got to go over there, sir. No. Because you got to go to the end and you got to go up and down and they've blocked off the bits in between most of the aisles now because, of course, before that, everyone was just ignoring them and going where they wanted to anyway. So you go up, down, get your little thing and then you get to the very last aisle, which isn't an aisle anymore, even though it's got stuff on it. It's now the queue.
But well, you just try and get in.
I didn't think I needed to queue for a normal place because I had the little laser thingy.
Oh, of course.
I'm trying to get down here and I'm like, well, what? So I thought, right, everyone else is just getting in the way anyway and walking up to me and walking past me. I'm just going to leg it past all these people. I get shouted at by one person. There's a queue here, you know. And I'm like, oh.
Yes, I know, but it's not my cue. I get now. Cued where I thought you needed to cue, which is a different cue. It's a completely different part of the story. It's the opposite end. Yeah, and then I get told, oh, no, you don't do that. So I had to play back again and cue in the cue that I didn't think I had to cue in while having a small nervous breakdown and trying not to murder everybody with Domestos. Because obviously I would be trying to cure them with Domestos, because that's what we've been told to do by Mr. Trump. Sniff it or inject it or drink it or whatever he says you've got to do. I love the fact there's now, I've seen on YouTube and on Instagram, they're actually warning people not to drink bleach.
Yeah. I think the whole thing MSM putting in the whole quote out of context, because it clearly wasn't about drinking anything like that, but they managed to turn it like that. And so it just shows you how bad they
are. Really? I did actually see it. I did look at the footage. The man just
I don't think he meant it in that way. I don't think that was the way it was. But he's a
very clever man. I mean, the guy knows what he's doing. But, honestly, I would never vote for him. And I think he's an idiot. But he's not an idiot in the sense of being a fool. I think he's a very deliberate, considered, intelligent man who knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, I wish I could care that little about what anybody in the world thinks of me. It'd be amazing. I'd probably be a psychopath, but yeah.
He's certainly got a special way, and I'm sure on that note,
aliens.
We're not even monetized, let alone demonetized. But to have any chance of getting monetized, I will probably have to end the stream there. But
Spaceballs, you've got the mug and you've got the alien cat on his head. That's taking over the world. That's what it is. Yeah. I saw it on that documentary, Star Trek.
Yeah, that's it. That was the one. Well, the best one I heard was the one from, let's just say, a famous female politician in the US from the Democrats, who based their main climate change talk on a movie. What the spoof was that they had seen the movie Ice Age 3, The Meltdown. And they used that as this really good film on climate change.
I get funny looks when I come up with stuff like talk about documentaries and then say a film. I get funny looks and they have no idea that I am pointing out the ridiculousness of the human race. Toys really do come to life. I've seen it on the telly.
No, that's the thing. But on that note, we'll end the stream with nearly an hour of banter and chat and motorsport talk.
We're near an hour. There's a whole 7 minutes to go.
But you stay on the line there, Andrew, and I'll be with you in a wee second. But to all our listeners and viewers of the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show, thank you very much for joining in with us. It's been great to have you with us, and lots of comments and all of that. Please hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube. Tell your friends all about the great shows that we do. And we'll be back on Sunday night, because there's another virtual race from F1. And this time, I think where is it?
Somewhere?
Nürburgring?
They're going to do it on the Nordschleife. If they could do it on the
That would be something. But it should be good. There's more drivers joining. I'm trying to think, there's another F1 driver coming. I will put that in when I find out again, I will let you know. And I will let all our listeners and viewers know. But it's great to have you all with us. So it's time to drive fast and try not to crash. We'll see you next week.
Bye.